minus 1, minus 2. If we have only expectation values in some fixed U and different volumes, we can in principle put them together to get the right, the full result, at least approximately. It's not obvious how to do that, but there is an approximation formula, and this is what we are currently testing in toy models. Maybe to sum up, yes, okay, so just two examples that we can ask about other things which are not QCD. This is now an illustration of the Higgs sector of the standard model. We cannot really include the full electroweak couplings to it, but there we have a problem with the fermion formulation, but at least the Yukawa couplings we can include. So this is basically a lambda phi to the 4 model multi-couplings plus a Yukawa term, and then we know that in theory this is trivial. That means if we have the cutoff of the theory that goes to infinity, then the Higgs mass and the interaction go to zero. So we have to deal with a finite lambda, finite cutoff to get a finite Higgs mass, and then we can measure on the lattice the upper bound in this case. So this would then be the lattice cutoff, would then be the edge of the Brillouin zone, pi over a, and we can measure for different formulations what is the upper bound of this cutoff. And this is the curve that emerged. This was of course done before the Higgs particle was explicitly found. And now people say, well, as long as your cutoff is huge, let's say beyond the Planck scale zone, it really doesn't matter if you have this cutoff or not, then it's fine. But if you get to very small cutoff, let's say here, then 10 to the 3 GeV, and this is now, then the Higgs mass itself, the upper bound is getting into the same magnitude as the cutoff, then the concept fails. So this puts a theoretical bound on the Higgs mass where it can be theoretically, and this curve has had to be measured from lattice simulations, again with such a decay, and the conclusion is if you require one order of magnitude separation between the cutoff and the upper bound of the Higgs mass, then they can be maximally about 600 to 700 MeV. So here we still have then an order of magnitude, and then here we are safe, but if we go further down, then it would conceptually not work anymore. So before measuring it, this is what the lattice could give as an input, that this is a theoretical upper bound for the Higgs mass. People also talk about the lower bound that it had, but I think this is much less on solid grounds. So this is just an illustration, and actually it doesn't even matter much if the Yukawa coupling is involved or not. So this curve here changes rapidly. And now something which is completely beyond the standard model. If we look at a modified geometry, let's say a non-commutative space where position operators do not commute, so we have not only a space and momentum uncertainty relation, but also a space-space uncertainty relation, then if you put quantum field theory on such spaces, then this generates also infrared divergences, which are not there in the commutative space. This was predicted perturbatively, but a bit controversial and so on, so we have measured this for, say, a 5 to the 4 model, the energy depending on the momentum square, and we saw exactly that we have here this infrared gap here that it diverges, that it goes up again, so this is exactly as predicted. And then we said, well, the best thing that we can do to get close to energy is to look at a free photon. Photon is then a self-interacting gauge boson like a gluon because of this non-commutativity. And there the theory predicted first again an infrared behavior, and then a closer look changed the sign and said actually the infrared divergence is negative. So if this is true, then we have a complete disaster, because then the system would be unstable to start with, don't even need to compare with fermionology. You can say it is nonsense to start with. Even a free photon could not exist in this space. And we measured this at different points, and we see first of all the perturbative calculation is correct. It seems really to go down here. However, if you explore the phase diagram, you see that this decoupling limit is actually not the right limit, so that we have to take it together with a large volume and continuum limit. It has to be, this has to be combined in a specific way to keep the non-commutativity constant. I will discuss this on Friday in the seminar, and if you do that, take the limit differently, not only the decoupling limit but the combined limit, then you are back at the linear behavior. So at least the world is safe from this infrared disaster. It is still is not really the result that we wanted. We hope to find something that will allow the deviation that we can compare to thermology, which is not the case here, but at least conceptually this disaster here can be avoided if we take a fully non-perturbative look, and but by expanding around the small coupling you would never see this that the other sectors in the phase diagram where really the second order phase transition takes place. So this is a bit of advertisement for the talk on Friday. So otherwise I would stop here and discuss this issue of chiral symmetry then the next time. Is this okay? It's fine. Okay. Our colleague who wanted to do the simulation has a Colombian colleague, I don't know his name, has suddenly disappeared. He wanted to do an harmonic oscillator simulation and show me results. Do you know what happened to him? Or?
No. He works with Nanny. I don't know why he didn't come today.
Yeah, and he is not part of the civil police, which is on strike. So.
That's his problem.
So, okay, maybe he comes to your last session, but would be curious to see if his simulation works. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, thank you for your patience.